The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
8:10, Dr. Powers is standing by. We'll talk with him here in about 3-4 minutes about where past meets present, some local history, and then into the news. Not that anything's been going on. All right. And when I wrapped up last hour, I was talking about a fascinating article that Lou Rockwell had linked to. From 1979, when I was graduating from high school in Reason Magazine, it was why the schools went public. And they talked about it. Basically, it was a battle between the Unitarians and the Calvinists. The Calvinists were kicked out of running Harvard University, and Unitarians took over. Unitarians had a point of view in which man was perfectible, in the way they figured they were going to perfect man was to have public education. And public education was coming out there at the same time that Robert Owen, the father of socialism, was talking about, hey, this is how you become, this is how you perfect man. Socialism kind of combined with public education, and Boston was looking at this as the way to go. And it had to be compulsory public education. And we have Lynn here. Lynn, you heard that. And by the way, the article is called Why the Schools Went Public, and it's something I never really knew until reading that over the weekend. But how are you thinking? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I didn't know that either, and it's fascinating. But I wanted to point out that this is just more evidence that shows that education is fundamentally religious.
In nature,
yes. You cannot
yes.
have a neutral education. And even schools that purport to be neutral and try hard to be neutral, at best, students are going to conclude, well, if there is a God, he's not very important. And so you end up with basically an atheistic approach. And I would also say that politics is also spiritual, because progressives have taken over the Democrat Party. Well, you can see, you can trace it all the way back to this Unitarian idea that we are perfectible, and that original sin, which, you know, the Calvinists believe in, and that's what the Bible teaches, it wasn't true. So it was basically a rejection of biblical truth, and now it's permeated all the way to the point where now we have public schools where they're hiding from parents that their children are wanting to be a different gender.
Well, in order for your child to perfect and turn he into a she or she into a fake he, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we're here. This is the public school. This is our religion. We're here to perfect. And we're here
and
to perfect.
The God of one's own desires.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that's interesting is that that education became compulsory. The progressives love to make people do stuff they don't want to.
Yeah.
They're the ones in charge of mandates, of regulations, of, you know, they just love forcing people to do stuff. And I just, you know, now our kids are being taught to hate their country, and they're working up a draft. I think they're fixing to try to draft people to send them over to Europe. I don't know who's going to fight for this country. So we're in a lot of trouble. But I would say a lot of Christians have their kids in public school, and I know they're trying to fight for what's right in the schools and everything, but I would say crawl through glass to get some other kind of education for your child.
Agreed wholeheartedly. I always appreciate your thoughtful comment, okay?
Yeah.
Never stop, okay?
All right, sorry, thanks.
Got Lynn here. Dave's here over in the Iron Gate. Hey, Dave, you wanted to weigh in on this too, huh? The battle between the Calvinists and the Unitarians leading to public education.
There's an office building that looks like an office building. It's a Unitarian church. It doesn't look and operate like a regular church because there's people going in during the week. I've never been there on the weekend to see if they hold services. But it's across the street from the courthouse and the ambassador building. And then there's a really old church. There's a historical building that's a Calvinist church. And so they don't seem to have anybody going in during the week, but probably on the weekends for services.
Yeah.
And so I just found it interesting. A Calvinist church right next to a Unitarian church. And I wonder if they have any battles anymore.
I'm kind of wondering about that, too. But apparently the Unitarians won the battle at Harvard and then say, hey, we're going to have socialism and we're going to have compulsory public education, in which we're going to...
The UN has adopted the Unitarian Church. A lot of UN people that are Unitarians.
Interesting. Interesting thought. Thanks for the call there, Dave. Let me go to, I think this is Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, very interesting, vital topic. It was George Washington who said, government is force and like fire, it's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. So the founders realized that government is power and it needs to be very careful. So how they decided, because they believe that man is a flawed creature, is they said, all right, we're going to divide all the power. So you have the three branches of government, you have the press, you have the state and local. And
yeah, and you would figure that all of these competing flawed powers would keep things in check, right?
In check, yeah, correct. But then along the way, the socialists, the Marxists, and so forth, with their you're kind of saying the Unitarians somewhat believe in God, but not quite. And but you know the
well certainly not the they didn't have the point of view. I would say that the Unitarian Church, as it was described in the 1800s, was kind of like Skittles and candy bars in comparison to broccoli the Calvinists were serving up, okay? Let me put it that way.
Right. And I think it had morphed into basically an atheistic point of view, because Karl Marx, the 10th plank, is government education. That's what. So the way that the Unitarians, with their belief about perfectionism and so forth, they say, well, government is force, but we can control government if we get the right people in. What they didn't realize, because the Calvinists are right, people are flawed, and look what's happened now that they got all these perfect people running us. Gender bending education, hate America education. It's ongoing what these perfected people are doing to us.
Yeah, all those perfected people are people who think that we can be perfected through public education, and it's so interesting to look and see how. At the same time, Robert Owen was, of course, promoting socialism, which, essentially is, which ended up morphing into Marxism. Karl Marx ends up taking those and sort of expounding on that, and expanding it. And this is an old process. This is nothing new, really.
Oh, it certainly is. And John Dewey is considered the father of modern education. And he flat out said, I'm a socialist. I believe in socialism, and that's the direction we want American education to go, and so forth. So that was in the 20s, and here we are at this point where government is God, and you're not to challenge God in any sort of way.
Except God is running out of support in the – when I talk about God, the government God is what I'm speaking of, is running out of legitimacy at this point. So maybe there is a hope for we perfectible humans here. And thanks so much for the call there, Tom. All right. We're going to break here in just a moment and have the Kim Komando Digital Update. And Dr. Dennis Powers, of course, retired professor of law. We're going to talk about some local history and then break down the rest of the news that's been going on here and see what's on his mind and your mind, too.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
How do you know you're selling your home with the right agent? Hey, it's Lars. I'm going to tell you, in Medford and Southern Oregon, the right agent is Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Trust Jared to get the job done. With Jared and his team, you're going to get years of experience and the know-how to navigate the market right here in Medford. Jared and his team have exclusive strategic options to get your home sold. Combined with Jared's highly effective marketing, why would you think of working with any other agent in Medford or Southern Oregon? Best of all, Jared guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or he buys it. Now, you know why real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I can't stop talking about Jared Hokanson. Call the only agent I recommend in Medford and all of Southern Oregon. Call Jared Hokanson at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
Not too many years ago, Americans looked forward to when Detroit's finest would unveil their newest and sleekest. But now we're living in a world where very few want to purchase a brand new car, electric or gas. I'm Kim Commando for Dell. For today's best deals on computer and office hardware, visit Dell.com/deals. The average age of a car in America is just over 12 and a half years, the oldest ever. One reason, of course, is inflation coupled with high interest rates, and that adds up to huge monthly payments. But it's not just that. There's a large group of Gen Zers who constitute what's being called new car deniers. They just don't want a new car. It's not only the money. They don't like the engines that shut down at stoplights. They don't like touchscreens. They don't want a digitally connected car that exposes their personal information to the Chinese, or worse, to their insurance company. And because of all this new tech, a new car becomes outdated quickly, and they don't like that either. Is anyone listening? To get ahead in life, you need tech smarts. That's why you need my free newsletter. Sign up at GetKim.com.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. Dell pushes what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now. Ghosting. Defined as a friend not responding to a text, or worse, a lover. Or maybe you just read someone's social media post, but you never hit that follow. Don't be a ghoster. Whether it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, go to my profile and follow me. My posts are the best. You're going to sound smarter. You're going to know the moment a data breach happens. So we're laying in bed tonight scrolling through social media. Find me everywhere at Kim Commando. Remember, it's not Kim Kardashian. It's me. The other, well, smaller Kim. Kim.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Hold the calls for a little bit. May have a little time closer to the end, all right? But, guys, we have the man here, Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon University. Dennis, welcome back to Where Past Meets Present. We talk with you every Monday. How are you doing today?
Oh, it's been fun. It's great. Always good to be with you. Lots of things when you'd like we can go into. And 13th year, I got to tell you, it's been a great ride.
13 years? I mean, you know, I've had...
Weekly.
You know, our relationship has been longer than some of my marriages, okay?
Oh,
did
well,
I say
actually,
some? All right.
I would go ahead and say, except for... the one with you and Linda and the one with me and Judy, and we could really have some one-liners on that one, but I think I'd better hold.
we'll stay mute on that one, okay? Hey,
yeah.
Doc, let's have a little palate cleanser about the history here of Southern Oregon, and we're going to – about something which is just fun. It's perfect time of year to go out there. What's the history of the Rogue Valley Zip Line adventure and how that ended up going? It's an interesting story of people that are looking to try to do something which is a little – you know, off a little bubble off plum, so to speak, and they just decided to go do it. What happened with that?
Well, you know, it's an uplifting story, Bill, because Lindsay Rice, about 15 years ago, rode her first zip line in Maui and decided that one could be built on her and her husband's property in Southern Oregon. Now, her husband, Jason Mileiki, liked the idea, but he didn't join her there because Jason was paralyzed from the waist down after breaking his back in a four-wheeling accident in his high school year. But he had construction expertise and Lindsay's planning. But you see, he was a student of mine. And at 8 o'clock, where I'd get there at 7 and go through different things in the morning. And then
so he was a business law student of yours then at SOU?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he was. And he would be there, Bill. He would be there about 7:45 as I then watched some of the other ones living on campus who would be trying to roll in at 5 minutes after class started or 10 minutes. And there are fun stories there.
Yeah, in other words, Jason was committed, though, and dedicated, right? That's what you're telling me.
and in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. But in any event, they decided they could construct a zip line on their 80-plus acres in a area located high above Goat Hill off Old Stage Road, you know, when you're driving to Jacksonville. It took them about a year, but they didn't have any capital. And I remember I was consulted, and I brought in there way in the beginning because he remembered me as his law professor, and I saw all the things that they did without money to go ahead, and they got ADA-friendly zip lines, five of them, accessible to wheelchairs. But the key thing, and I went there several times, the fifth one was the longest in the Pacific Northwest at 1,300 feet. But anyway, the tour starts with a shuttle picking up the guests at the Laurel Hill Golf Course. That's outside Gold Hill.
Gold Hill, yeah. There.
The dirt taxi. But one of the other fascinating things there, way in the beginning, was that it's also on the ride up the location of the Braden Gold Mines, which produce some $25 million in today's money. And
what an incredible amount of gold that must have been at the time.
Well, you know, Bill, it was. The other thing, though, is that I was in there, you know, with my little helmet and flashlight walking through there. And I'll never forget hearing something towards the end, very deep, deep mine, and said to myself, Dennis, I think you might want to go ahead. Move, feet, move.
Oh, what did you move. Hear? Did you hear a creature of some sort? Is that kind of what you're
hearing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but creatures are there, but they're not there now because of the fact that there's so many people that go through a very interesting, beautiful place. Jason passed away, unfortunately and unexpectedly, in 2016, but Lindsay continued the operations. But I got to tell you, the views from the treetops as you're going over these zip lines are spectacular, even to Mount McLaughlin, Mount Thielson and our region. And the other thing, too, is that last zip line goes for approximately, let's say, about a sixth of a mile, a fifth of a mile. It has a great bow. And they alert you to just keep on going. You don't want to panic and stop in the middle, which is what happened with one person there. As they went ahead and they had to rope them and take them up to the other side. It's a wonderful, very safe experience, very Southern Oregon, very Jackson Josephine County. And it's a story, really, that is, to me, very warming of the heart to watch what people can do when government stays out of the way, and also what they do when they say, like that little train, I think I could. I love it.
Do you think that even in the 15 years or so since Zipline got started, that they could do it today in the cult of safetyism? Is it getting more difficult to do these kind of things, or is it pretty much still a go even today? What do you think?
Well, 15 years ago, you could do it. But now, unfortunately, what happened in the political correctness and wokeness that we have in this state and in Washington, I believe it would still be able to happen because Jason was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
I hate to be that direct about it, but that would be something that the people in planning would be probably directed from above to say, don't give these people, that much of a problem. Just go ahead and do your
thing. You'd have an advantage because of being disabled, right? You know, in other words, it's not about what you're capable of, but, which box you tick off. Yeah, it's an interesting – that's kind of sad, but I'm just glad that they're doing their thing.
You see, Bill, on that particular point, I have to say that I had to say that because you asked me the question. And I got to be honest for you and your listeners.
All right. Well, I always appreciate the honesty, Doc. But I'll tell you what. Let's break for a quick news update then. And then we'll break down some of the other news here before we take off. And, of course, I'll be on vacation next week. So I'm going to be snoozing next week. So you just snooze too. Okay?
You're a very active snoozer, Bill.
Yeah. Not nearly enough. My eyes are bloodshot. But anyway, hey, be right back, Doc. And so there we go, the history of the Rogue Valley Zip Line in Where Past Meets Present, and then back to the present here in a moment.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. TimberTech Decking. The best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. TimberTech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
Don't give wildfire a path to your door. Prepare your home and yard before a fire strikes. Clean your roof and gutters of leaves and debris. Limb up trees. Space those plants. Cut your lawn short, and if possible, keep it green. It's called defensible space, and it works. Go to keeporegongreen.org to learn more.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Hunter Biden's lawyers have rested their defense case in the criminal trial of the president's son. The Hunter Biden is accused of lying about his drug use when he bought a gun in 2018. A four-day election has shaken the European Union's parliaments to its foundations. Conservative parties were rocked. The ruling parties in France and Germany, the EU's main driving forces. France faces snap national elections in just 3 weeks. Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference is expected to herald the company's move into generative artificial intelligence, marking its late arrival to a technological frontier that's expected to be as revolutionary as the invention of the iPhone. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 65 points. The Nasdaq's ahead by 47. More details at srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
It is 8:33. We'll be back with Dr. Powers here in just a moment to see gold to 2304 here. Just like the stock market gave back a little bit last week, silver still, boy, getting ready to touch 30 again. Silver has been in on the rally. That is for sure. And which means I look at this as a buying opportunity. If you're looking to add more of that financial insurance, wealth preservation for the long term, you look back at thousands of years, physical gold and silver always has an uncanny ability to make up for the predatory governments that print currency. Just saying. Where to get it, though? Talk to the recognized experts, and that would be Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Just drop by 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. By appointment, get your appointment there, 482-3715. They know these markets. They'll help you make the best decisions for you. And maybe you're looking at 2300 gold. Time to sell. Hey, great. Either way, have collectible banknotes. They'll help sell those too. Platinum, silver, diamonds, gold, rather. It's all there. And buying and selling, it's just like pure capitalism. It's like a capitalism paradise there at Jay Austin. Ashland Grants Pass, jayaustinbrokers.com, grantspasscoins.com, and also on the web, fortunereserve.com. I think we have Rob here. Hey, Rob, you wanted to weigh in on the gentleman running, one of the people involved with the zip line here that Dr. Powers was talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Yeah, from the, I knew Jason and Lindsay from the early 2000s.
Oh, no kidding.
Long before they even built on that property. And, but the thing I, key thing I wanted to weigh in on is he'd made mention, you know, that Jason was in a wheelchair. He's involved in a, accident at the dunes when his senior year of high school.
Wow. Yeah.
But you would never know that he was in a wheelchair unless you saw him pushing the wheelchair. And he was quite the amazing person. He had his own excavating business on top of them also running the zip line. And so I just want to put a kudos out to him and the fact that he wasn't shameful of being in a chair or anything like that, and he wasn't treated as a handicap.
Very good. Hey, I really... what's that?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I also knew him personally. I have great respect for what he was able to do. Great respect, because you're absolutely right on that, and that's the reason he was a I-can-do-this-can-do person. You're right.
Yeah, we're really big on I-can-do-it people, all right? Appreciate the call there, and thank you so much, caller. It is 836. All right, Doc, we had the Skittles and the candy bars first here. Now we're going to get a little broccoli news, okay? We always want to do this with you. And so now that we've had dessert first, a little bit of broccoli, and this has to do with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, one of the most heavily reversed courts in the entire nation. But boy, we sure are working through a lot. What's the latest amazing legal ruling which has come out of the Ninth Circuit cloaca? What are you saying?
Well, you know, to go into why they are so liberal and why you're having these decisions, which are really numerous, that are very liberal and progressive, it goes back to almost 40 years ago with Jimmy Carter. He appointed 15 of the then 23 judges on the Ninth Circuit. And this is for California, Idaho, Montana, let me think, Nevada,
wow,
Oregon, and Washington. And I'd like to know, you know, where the Republican Party was, but more than likely they were trying to cut a deal on something else. But in any event, it goes back to that, and their decisions have always been ones that were either in the leading, such as having to do with, they threw out contributory negligence, so now it was comparative, which meant that if a person's fault was really a cause to the accident, you'd weigh it, like if it was 70%. Rather than being barred, they'd get at least 30%.
Oh, I didn't realize that that is where, that it's that court that brought that in. So essentially, whoever was the deepest pocket ended up carrying all the burden, right? That was just all there was to it. Was that whole concept?
Absolutely right. But you see, they were in a number of these areas that came in. And then what we're seeing now is, for example, as you and I were discussing, you know, the Ivy League is now the poison Ivy League, and you have Ivy Leaguers that are on this Ninth Court of Appeals. It's also predominantly, I love the word progressive, which to me just means far left and will attack you in any way they can. And they're doing it legally.
So. Isn't it funny that somehow their worldview is that, progressive. It's always progress. There's never any backsliding in the progressive world. Interesting.
Well, it's what we've seen with the drive-by media,
yeah.
How you can cover things with just changing the words that they print and people use. But in terms of this latest epistle that came out, which had to do, frankly, with the fact that that if a person in jail arrested is 7 days or more without a public defender, that person must be released, and that is for all of these states, but it was centered on Oregon. So, you know, where Oregon was saying, oh, you know, we don't have the money, you know, to get these public defenders. Well, that's baloney. Because all the money is going into other things like homeless and all these other things. And they were releasing people anyway, if you take a look at Google, at the way that people were being released.
All right. Now, is there anything constant? Now, I guess, you know, to have a speedy trial, you have a right to a speedy trial or, you know, jury trial by your peers, right? And we know that. Is there something in the Constitution that says you have a week to have a public defender? I mean, what doctrine was this decision created from, that you got 7 days for the lawyer or else you cut the criminal loose?
Yeah, the key thing is that this is a Sixth Amendment case,
okay.
Basically interpreting, you know, right to counsel. but the key thing is that, first of all, the decision was 2-1, and I believe en banc, which would be all the judges, will more than likely not have a change to this decision. But it was brought by the federal public defender that was appointed by the same Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. He is a very progressive, quote-unquote, liberal person by the name of Fidel Casino.
You're kidding me. His name's Fidel?
No, I'm not.
Oh, man. You couldn't write a better name for someone doing this kind of stuff. All right.
And you see, it was appointed by the same court that he then brought the lawsuit that they went ahead and said, oh, hey, you're right.
Well, wouldn't there be a bit of, well, a conflict there somehow, or am I wrong?
Not with the progressives. Seriously.
All right. Well, what is going to end up happening, though, is that this is another chaotic rule, right? This is another chaotic ruling coming out of the Ninth Circuit. My question for you, though, is this something that has to be kicked back on appeal then to an en banc, in other words, the entire Ninth Circuit group, or is this something where you believe it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court for proper decision-making?
Well, it's going to depend as, quote-unquote, the state of Oregon is, quote-unquote, considering what their alternatives are.
So it's up to the state of Oregon to decide then whether or not to appeal.
And you see, the key thing about it, though, is that if you go ahead and take a look as to what the history has been in our state, going all the way back to Kate Brown, as to the way that prisoners and convicted murderers and things like that have been released on a number of different things continually, you'll see that this type of situation in this state, which then applies to all six, is one of those ones to where the arrow is in.
Yeah. Let me ask, as a point of law then, were there any precedences or any precedent which was cited then to come up with this rule that if you don't have a public defender within 7 days, you are to be released from jail because you don't have a public counsel yet? I mean, is there any precedent that may have been built here, or is this something just fabricated out of thin air?
Well, you see, precedent has, depending on what you're arguing, has different definitions.
Okay.
And precedent could be right on that subject, which in this case there wasn't. But on the other hand, our attorneys who are paid to argue, and they do it well, and judges also know how they should be going ahead and deciding,
mm-hmm.
can look at what is put into these cases that may not have been directly on point, but it is called dictum, and it's what is there that we can rely on being an attorney to say, in this case, it said. Sometimes you'll try to get away with the word, it held. But you see, it's just all a word salad. That's what happens. And with the drive-by media, all we're getting, my friend, is word salad.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to redirect, Consular. Okay, I'm going to see if I can. I'll redirect my inquiry as I approach the bench, the Dr. Powers bench here.
Oh, it's really fun because you can go ahead and on your feet, as long as you're respectful to the judge, and in the really important cases, which I always brought in to a very experienced trial attorney. who at times would not know the difference between who he was attacking, mm-hmm. but that's okay. This is not smearing the profession.
All right. No, I'm not trying to smear the profession, though. I'm trying to find out what might be done to correct this. It's a bizarre ruling. It's another part about encouraging disorder within the system rather than...
You have to elect the Republican nominee and vice president. It's at a time now where even when your listeners are working with a full life, or if they're retired with a full life, they have to go ahead. I have friends of mine who are poll watchers. I have other friends who are going ahead and really going in on subcommittee meetings, just attending at some of the subcommittee meetings for the Ashland City Council. Unfortunately, earning a living is not now acquainted with the work that you need to do because the country is sliding and, mm-hmm. and there's just no way to look around it, although what you have done, as I mentioned with the Lindas, is very empowering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The county thing, we're real proud of that, of what ended up happening and just being part of the army that turned it back. Let me just touch on, I'm almost out of time, though, and I want to get a couple of quick questions in here. So Oregon may appeal or may not appeal this Ninth Circuit Court ruling, which said that, you either have a public defender within 7 days or you're cut loose. Okay. Could Idaho maybe perhaps make an appeal, or some other more sensible state make an appeal and try to drive that? Or is it only Oregon that could appeal? Because it applies to the entire Ninth Circuit, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you see, we cannot at this time go ahead and make these conclusions. And
okay.
Here's the reason why. The reason why is the Attorney General of Oregon more than likely is the one that is making these decisions. And then you've got to see, what the story is with those on the defense.
Okay.
Then once those decisions are made, which can be in flux depending on what is worked out, it really can.
So I want to be clear, though. Oregon has the first bite of an appeal, and then maybe another state could or not.
Well, it could if they file an amicus curiae.
Okay.
Which is friend of the court brief. There's a lot of ways of doing it. And you will see, like in New York State, the way that the dance is done. And it's always...
Let's hope that we don't dance like corrupt New York. All right. All right. That's good. All right. The final question I have for you here, Doc, I want you to take a look at the homelessness in the city of Ashland. I noticed that I was looking at the a booklet over the weekend of the homeless statistics here for Southern Oregon. And I know that people were making a big deal of Medford supposedly having a lower level of homelessness or a lot lower level of homelessness than they once had. The funny thing is, though, is that ironically, Grants Pass, that they're all pointing and laughing at, has a lower rate of homelessness than Jackson County's Medford. But, they don't want to – I guess that's the wrong – the wrong narrative. But my question for you is, what does Ashland look like? Because anecdotally, I'm getting it from some police officers here in Southern Oregon that have made me aware that really what happened is that Medford may look better, not because of Medford's policies, but because people didn't want to really deal with the rules and they moved to Ashland. Could you confirm or deny that and say that's wrong? What do you think about that? That's what I'm getting from some people.
Well, that's a really meaty question, and three different facts that hit me. One is the fact that it is true that because of Boatnick and trying to clear Riverside Park, that Grants Pass made different things. But you see, also, it's a question of how you're counting them.
Oh,
who is homeless? A second thing, my friend, is that we had this problem in Ashland as to the appearances. But then, because of the fact that this city council is extraordinary in terms of what it's trying to do to stay in power with the homeless and their handlers, that deals are made. And I'll give you two examples on that. One, if you go to the police station, it's funny to watch the encampments. It depends. And at times, you can go in there like I did. I wanted to talk to a person. on different things, and I was panhandled right there in the parking lot
of the police station. I know,
but
you see, this is what I'm getting at here. I'm wondering if Medford looks better because Ashland has now been made worse. That's where, maybe well, just think about that. Maybe we'll talk more about that more deeply another time.
Bill, we can, but I think also, my friend, it depends on whom you're talking to and where. Because
okay.
Talking to friends of mine in Medford, they say that the Medford homeless problem is a problem where they are.
Oh, got it. All right. Doctor, thank you so much. I'm going to take next Monday off, but I'll see you the Monday after that. And I thank you so much for your help, as always. All right? Be well, my friend.
We look forward to it, and be well.
All right. You take care. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law. We're going to talk a little baseball here for just a minute before we wrap up because, gosh, talk about a palate cleanser. You know, you have all this seriousness. There's always baseball.
It's okay to ask for a little advice at Freddy's Diner.
Are you ready to order?
Ooh, always a tough call. Burgers, sandwiches, melts, fried chicken, smoked brisket. The daily special looks good, too. Any suggestions?
Well, we have seafood, too. Our hand-dipped fish and chips is pretty hard to beat.
Sounds good.
There's something for everyone at Freddy's Diner in Old Town, Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
The term for people who are both hungry and angry is hangry. Well, Garrison Sleep has coined a new word for that annoying, irritable feeling from spending another sleepless night on a crappy mattress. It's called slangry. And the only known treatment is a new mattress from Garrison Sleep. Our team has the tools and the talent to map and match you with the mattress of your dreams. At Garrison Sleep, we specialize in slanger management and mattresses too. Garrisons.com. We got your back. Literally.
The only thing better than hitting the open road this summer is your vehicle looking sharp while you're doing it. So if you have a crunch in your car that's keeping it from looking its best, Lithia Body and Paint invites you to stop by so they can have a look. Simple dents and dings are often easy, fast, and affordable to fix. Plus, it's an unscientific fact that your car runs better when it looks like new. Your look good before summer road trip headquarters is Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi. I spent 45 plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
Sky Park makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at Sky Park Insurance. Call 541-499-0945.
Two Dogs Fabricating are fabulous at fabricating what you need to get the job done this summer. For example, if you're in the fire suppression business, the Dogs custom build aluminum top mount forestry racks for vans to carry firefighting gear. And if your RV or camp trailer needs any hitch or tongue repair for the upcoming camping season, Two Dogs can fix those puppies. They also build custom diamond plate battery boxes for extra protection and style. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Visit twodogsfab.com.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
You know, we're going to wrap with some great sports, and one of my favorite sports to enjoy, because I look at it as probably the most social of sports out there, because, you know, you go out there, you're in a beautiful outdoors, and, you know, it's not like it's like ground-pounding action back and forth. It's not like the ADD of professional basketball, let's say. And I, you know, you go out there with your friends, your family, you got a beer, you got a dog, and yeah, you're just having some fun. And we have Dave May here. Now, you're the owner of the Medford Rogues, right?
I'm the co-owner. It's my wife and I. So we're a pretty small business. We have three employees in total that work year-round. So I have a full-time general manager and my wife and I.
Uh-huh.
I wear many hats. Tabitha, my wife, wears many hats. And my GM wears more hats than both of us. So,
yeah. Well, you know, here in small market broadcasting, kind of the same thing. We all wear about three or four hats. And I've always kind of wanted to, you know, talk to you about this, Dave. When you talk about small market baseball, which I love because, like I said, you're seeing, you know, stars, you know, people that are going to be stars, you know, in many cases, and you get to see them early in the career and people are doing their thing. Is it kind of like the old movie, Kevin Costner movie, Bull Durham, a little bit of that when you're doing small market world?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the best ways to actually describe what it is, right, and what we do. You know, there's situations for us where, you know, a couple years back we were in Chico and there was – we broke 11 bats and the team only took 14 bats with them for whatever reason.
Right.
And my wife and I jump in the car and deliver more bats to them. And, you know, we've had a bus breakdown and had to shuttle kids from here to there and everywhere else just to make sure that they got to the hotel. So it's everything, and everyone knows the umpires. You know, my fans are yelling at umpires by first name, you know. And
See, that's really interesting, right? Now, are they polite about
it? It's actually, it's really a cool relationship, actually, in most cases with that. You know, I have a group of season ticket holders that have shirts that say, "Don't make us come down there." And the umpires made shirts that say, "Don't make us come up there." So it's
That's funny.
All in good fun. You know, and, you know, they'll get on them a little bit when they think they made a bad call. And, you know, but at the end of the night, the next day, that official might come watch his coworkers, right, his partners, and he'll sit up with those guys and have a beer with them and, you know, just enjoy the baseball, enjoy the game, and so a lot of fun there.
This is a great palate cleanser from the insanity of every day, especially in my world, political life, what is going on these days. So let's talk about the homestand, because it's a long homestand that you've been doing. Tell us what's coming up this week, huh?
Yeah, we got a, you know, so right now this is actually the middle of 12 games and 13 nights at Harry and David Field, so this is my off day, and no better way to spend my off day than being with you, Bill. But we have upcoming. We got.
You didn't have to kiss up. It's okay, buddy. It's all right, Dave.
We have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to start off. We're playing a team called the Cascade Collegiate League Showcase, and they're an all-star team of. There's a league in Washington, so they put an all-star team together of their six teams and come to Medford and play us. And for us, it's Tuesday. Starting tomorrow, it's Chick-fil-A Tuesday, and it's half price tickets. Kids 15 and under get in for free.
Cool.
And we sell Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And Wednesday, if you're a Rogue Credit Union member, it's all you can eat hot dogs. I mean, what's more baseball than all you can eat hot dogs,
between,
right?
Between Chick-fil-A one day, hot dogs the next, you're going to be well fit.
That's
right?
What we're going for.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, to wash it down on Thursday, it's Thirsty Thursday. So, you know, discount on adult beverages. So we got that pretty much covered. But the real highlight of the show for us is across the Friday, Saturday, Sundays. You know, on Friday specifically, I want to touch on that. We host a 17-minute fireworks show, and it's
– this Friday.
Yeah, and cool. We do it every Friday in June. So we still have two more of them left. We've done two so far, and this Friday, actually the guys come from Corvallis to light these fireworks off, and they actually have to have special messaging on their van because of these fireworks are so explosive. It's supposed to be the loudest show they've ever done. So if you live in if you're familiar around Harry and David Field, you know, I would likely give your dogs some sleepy medication.
Yeah, put the dog inside at night. All right. So a lot of fun going on this week, and you can find out more about the lineup, everything that's going on, the people involved, get tickets. Can you get tickets at the website too?
Yeah. Okay. That's usually the best. Our website actually has an interactive map. You can see what kind of seats you're buying, and so that's really neat. It gives you that opportunity to see, I want to be on the third base side, the first base side, whatever it is. So it's neat and it's easy. The company is called Simple Ticks. So it's obviously pretty easy to get tickets to
make them. Make it simple. Now, you brought down some tickets. We're going to be giving away tickets this week here. We're going to make sure and get even more people in those stands, and so you can get them taken care of with the Chick-fil-A tomorrow. Yeah. We got the hot dogs on Wednesday, and then the beer on Thursday, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
And it's going to be some great baseball being played here. And we'll be doing that tomorrow. We're going to be giving away the goodies tomorrow and starting on that. We're going to make sure and do you good. And we're just proud to be a sponsor of this, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. This is a great partnership, and we look forward to continuing to grow it. And, you know, we love what you guys do here, so thank you.
All right, very good. Once again, MedfordRogues.com. MedfordRogues.com. I got 10 seconds, and I turn into a pumpkin after that. But, Dave, thanks for coming by, right? Dave May, the co-owner, and it's a real family-owned and operated – well, it's a love, okay? Is your business